Biscuits. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, your home for Minnesota Twins baseball all summer long. That does not count as Kid Rock, because that wasn't his voice saying all summer long. That was my voice. Be listening for Kid Rock, and you could win tickets to see him at the Iowa State Fair and 1600 AM. The historic main gym all across eastern Iowa. Someone asking on the text line whether we'll have Alabama tickets for the state fair. No one tells me anything until it's time to give stuff away. Because when they tell me in advance, then I don't get the details right and I wind up giving away what I shouldn't be giving away. Foursomes of golf? No problem. What was the giveaway? One round of golf. Singular. Individual. My paycheck's probably going to be a little bit lighter when I check that deposit. Speaking of the Twins, we've got Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune joining us on the program. It's been a while since. Did we check in with Phil in spring training?
Yes, we did.
When Tyler was still here. All right. Well, Phil, we're now a month into the season. Give me your first impression, the first month of Twins baseball so far. Has you feeling what about this team?
Let's say optimistic. Let's say this is a better team than certainly last year, better team than we had any right to expect this year. The new regime is committed to playing kids, and some of them are slowly beginning to respond. The pitching has been better than the disaster it was last year, so it's not too difficult to envision them threatening 500 this year, which would be, after a 59-win season, big step forward.
One of the big storylines for the Twins in a good way has been Miguel Sano. What are we seeing from him in 2017 that we didn't in 2016?
Well, we're seeing the 2015 Miguel Sano, I guess. Everyone projected him to have a breakthrough year last year. It seems to finally be happening. He is the best hitter on the team by a long ways now. His at-bats have become appointment TV, and he's kind of carrying the offense a little bit right now, and also, surprise, playing better than a representative defense.
What's led to this explosion from Miguel Sano? Obviously, he's immensely talented, and we knew that this is what he could do, but was there something at spring training? Was there off-season work? Has he said what's led to this?
Yeah, he did a lot of off-season work in the Dominican Republic. He knew that he had a bad season last year, that he disappointed a lot of people, including himself. He really wants to live the life of a major league star, and he kind of thought he was already there, and he got humbled a little bit last year. So he went to the Dominican Republic. He worked with a coach all off-season. He understands he has to better control the strike zone. It's no accident that he leads the team in walks. That is almost certain to happen this year, as well as leading the team in strikeouts. And he's just become a more mature hitter. It's kind of a heartening thing for fans to watch. You know, the most fun thing, I think, for baseball fans is to watch a young kid come up and grow into being a star. Miguel's not there yet, but you can certainly see it happening.
But you're not going to see him in the lineup tonight because MLB upheld the suspension, so he's going to be on the sidelines. You talk about young players coming up and blossoming into stars. What's the level of frustration among Twins fans and your readers with regard to Byron Buxton? Because defensively, he's there, and he's been there from day one. This guy is a Gold Glove caliber center fielder, but the offense seems to come and go in spurts.
It really does. He seems to be putting it together a little bit again, but it really is bad when you start, when you play 3 weeks, and even when you get a couple of hits, you still don't raise your average above 100. It was a really, really bad start. And the crazy thing is, coming out of spring training, Miguel was having some trouble adjusting in spring training. He didn't look as sharp as he does now. Byron was tremendous in spring training. You know, he opened the season batting third in the lineup. That's how much faith Paul Molitor had in him. And it's turned out exactly the opposite. Miguel just took off and Byron has gotten into some bad habits again, really for both of them. It's about controlling the plate. It's about swinging at strikes. It's about knowing how to swing at a hitter's pitch instead of a pitcher's pitch. That apparently comes and goes for, I think, for a lot of young hitters. But you're right about Byron. I don't think there's much frustration with him because the defense is so obvious. He is so good on the field. I've covered Torrey Hunter, Denard Spann, Ben Revere, great fielders, all of them. Byron Buxton is clearly well ahead of them as far as covering center field.
And I guess you kind of lead me into my next question. I follow you at Miller S. Tribb, and you tweeted a couple of days ago after a couple of dominoes fell that you kind of believe that the Derek Falvey and Thad Levine evaluation period has ended. What has been kind of the thoughts from them on Byron Buxton?
The same thing, that this, they are very much committed to defense. You know, what they're committed to is run prevention. And to most fans, that means, well, we need better pitchers. But, you know, they learned in Cleveland and in Texas that defense is an overlooked part of run prevention. And they wanted to do everything they can to help the pitching staff. And that means put a good defense behind them. And Byron Buxton is the... is one of the central parts of that. You know, fly balls are just automatic outs on some days with Byron out there. So, you know, that has been one of the central tenets, one of the things they've really followed through on. They're committed to playing Rosario, Buxton, Kepler, all three good outfielders in the outfield. And you know, the defense improvement has really been obvious. The defense improvement with Jason Castro and Chris Jimenez behind the plate has been pretty obvious. And that is one of the central tenets, I think, that we're seeing on the field of the new regime.
Brian Dozier's off to a little bit of a slow start, hitting .229 right now. Is this a residual hangover from that off season of hearing his name constantly talked about being moved in a trade?
I don't think so. I think it has to do more with the way he's being pitched. And he's just got to, you know, you hear ball players say it all the time. I adjust to them, then they adjust to me, then I adjust to them. Pitchers, it took him 42 home runs last year to figure it out. But if you give Byron, if you give Brian Dozier a strike, letter high or in that area, he's going to turn on it and he's going to pull it. He's very, very much a pull hitter. He goes up there looking for those pitches. He hasn't been getting them, so he's. He's trying to use the whole field, but it's not an easy adjustment for him to make. But, you know, he had an even worse start to last year, and he ended up hitting 42 home runs. He's confident that, you know, every year is different, but he's really remained upbeat. He feels like it's coming around. I don't think that trade talk has a whole lot to do with it.
One of the dominoes to fall after your said end of evaluation period for the two new guys is Kyle Gibson being optioned to AAA Rochester. I guess a lot of the questions from Twins fans is what is going to happen with the 4 and 5 starters, and especially with Jose Berríos. We'll get to that in a second, but what do you think becomes of these two kind of open spots?
Well, one of them is going to be Berríos. They've kind of painted themselves into a corner. They don't have that many options. They want to take definitive action about you produce or you're not going to be here. You know, I think we've seen that with some of the moves they made last week, and Kyle Gibson is the most obvious one. He hadn't had a single good start this year, and his problems were the same game to game to game, falling behind hitters, not trusting his sinker, and giving up home runs. So he's lost his job, but, you know, Twins had the worst starting pitching in baseball last year, and they did not go out and add any starting pitchers in the offseason. So it's not dealing from a position of strength. I have been surprised that they have waited so long to get Jose Berríos up to the big leagues, but I do think he will probably start Saturday in Cleveland. The other spot right now is Nick Tepish's. And what the plan is beyond that, I will be surprised. I'll be interested to see what they do. I would be surprised if more than two of the current starters are in the rotation by the end of the season.
Phil Miller joining us from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, one of the two starters that's done fairly well at the beginning of the year so far. Hector Santiago goes for the Twins tonight. You can hear him on 107.5 FM as they play the White Sox. But leading the way for that rotation with a 1.72 ERA is Ervin Santana. He's been a revelation this season, a guy that we know well in Cedar Rapids. He actually came through here when the Colonels were an Angels affiliate a long time ago. Phil, you got us?
Yeah, no, I was agreeing.
Okay.
I'm old enough to remember those.
Sorry, I'm conditioned to think that guests can't hear us on the phone. My apologies. Is there something that Neil Allen and the staff worked with Santana in the offseason, or is this just a byproduct of matchups? Why has he been so effective so far this year?
Well, he's working in his changeup a little more, and that has been a big thing as he has lost a little bit of his velocity. But he honestly really hasn't lost much velocity for his age. You know, I think he's 33, 34 now. He's still throwing 94 miles an hour, so the changeup has given him a nice pitch to go with his slider. It's a good three-pitch mix. His numbers are a little bit better than how he has actually pitched. He's worked out of some trouble a couple of times, but you know, going into yesterday, he had looked like the best pitcher in the American League. He's not blowing guys away. He's not racking up strikeouts, but one thing I can say he's doing, he is elevating his trade value for a couple of months from now.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What do you see the Twins doing here? Because right now, they're in second place in the Central, but it's such a tight race. Let's say that they're still within striking distance of whoever's in first place, or maybe even in first place a couple months from now. It sort of presents an interesting dilemma for the front office, does it not, as far as where they want to go with this rebuild, because they still are in rebuild mode, just in a different phase of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they came in with a 59-win team thinking that that it's going to be a while before they get to making this team a solid contender. It might be that the division is weak enough where it is in striking distance. They will be in striking distance, and that does, you're right, it's a dilemma for them because, as they both know from Falvey in Cleveland and Levine in Texas, you've got to take those opportunities to get to the postseason whenever you can. And once you get to the postseason, Twins fans may not believe this because of their history, but once you get to the postseason, anything can happen. And, you know, I don't think that they will allow a chance like that to go by. I think the plan going into the season is to shop Ervin and probably Dozier and maybe even a couple of other guys at, Kinsler, Belisle, some of the relief pitchers. But if they're in contention, if they're, you know, within a game or two at the end of July and plausibly see a plausible path to the postseason, I really do think that they are not going to let that opportunity go by. So I'm sure they will shop these guys. Whether or not they pull the trigger will have a lot to do with what happens in the next six or 8 weeks.
From one dilemma to the next, take us inside the thinking here with the number one overall pick in next month's draft. You've got Brendan McKay out of Louisville, who's the top college player. Hunter Green is the top high school player. Are these the two names that the Twins are sort of circling in on with the number one overall pick, or are there a couple other players out there that are in the conversation as well, in your opinion?
Yeah, there are a few others, mostly college players, and it will be. That is going to tell us a lot about how they feel about this team and how comfortable they are about waiting for the, you know, playing for the long term versus playing for now. Kyle Wright, left-hander. He's the right-hander, and McKay is the left-hander. Is another college pitcher that Falvey went and watched personally last week. I've had scouts tell me that for most teams, Hunter Green would be a no-brainer. But the one thing that number one picks, teams with number one picks usually face is they're always bad teams. Do they want to get somebody who can help them quickly? And, you know, as we've discussed about the Twins starting pitching, it's a mess. They need to add quality bodies, and there are a couple of guys, McKay and Wright, who project as potential number ones or number twos. They could use them, you know, within the next couple of years, whereas Hunter Green, they know going in, is a 4 or 5 year project, even though, you know, cover of Sports Illustrated, the last guy to do that was Bryce Harper. You know, they would like to add a Bryce Harper. So it is going to be a difficult decision for them. I think most fans assume they're going to end up with Hunter Green. I think the thought with people around the Twins is they're going to end up with a pitcher because they're impressed by the pitchers, and they it's an area of greater need.
All right, Phil, appreciate it as always. We'll keep up with the good work and reading it on Twitter and following along at the Star Tribune. Appreciate it as always.
Okay, guys, good talking to you.
Be very interesting to see what the Twins do with that number one overall pick. Brendan McKay out of Louisville is projected to be the top college player to go. He's a two-way player, but you're looking him at right now as a pitcher. And then Hunter Green, number one overall selection. He would most likely, you would keep him on the mound. He's a tremendous shortstop as well, but do the Twins want to go that route? I think it's fascinating that he points out this is a 4 or 5 year commitment if you go with Hunter Green, whereas Brendan McKay or another college player would be maybe a 1 year project, or maybe you get him in the system and he's a fast mover. And if you are there in the postseason, remember the Royals did this a couple years ago with Brandon Finnegan. They drafted him out of TCU, and he was in the World Series. So not to say that the Twins are going to the World Series this year, but like Phil said, they've got to evaluate where they're at as a franchise and what they want to do, because the talk about Hunter Green is that this kid is a tremendous talent. And not only that, but being African-American, and if you read up on his background, he's extremely intelligent and interesting from a number of aspects as far as Major League Baseball looking for the next African-American superstar to sort of build the sport around. And there are a lot of people that feel that it very well could be this kid. And wearing Twins merchandise? Not that you make a pick to sell jerseys or anything, but if this kid is as good as advertised and he's the next big thing, do you want to see him wearing a Twins jersey, or do you want to see him wearing a Cincinnati Reds jersey, asking yourself, well, we could have had him, we chose not to?
Jim Callis, who's a friend of the show or a friend of the program from MLB.com, he just wrote his column, is Hunter Green the best high school right-handed pitcher ever? So it's that kind of talent. And selfishly, for people here in Cedar Rapids, would there be a chance that we would see Hunter Green in the next couple of years?
You'd see Hunter Green here next year. I don't know if they drafted Brendan McKay if we would ever see him.
Agreed.
And Cedar Rapids, as tremendous of a baseball town as this is, and with that history dating back over 100 years, Cedar Rapids has never had a number one overall pick, the first guy taken in the draft. Never had one. And I know how much they want one, because you play him one game here and then they can make bobbleheads and put him on T-shirts and do whatever it is that they can want to try to make a buck. But it would be neat to see. Now, there's a caveat to that, because Joe Mauer was the number one overall pick by the Twins. He wore a Colonel's uniform. He did it on a rehab appearance. But all those years with the Reds and all those years with the Angels, they've never had a number one overall pick in the draft, and they very well could see it. Now, maybe they take McKay. Now, they took Tyler Jay out of Illinois 3 years ago, and he went straight to Fort Myers, and that was a college pitcher, and Brendan McKay is a lot better than Tyler Jay. So the odds are, if they went the college route, you wouldn't start him in Cedar Rapids, but maybe they would throw Doug Nelson and Scott Wilson a bone. I don't know.
I just need redemption. And I have a story about, not really a story, but I was here in 2009 when Mike Trout was here, and I did not go to a baseball game.
And well, see, he didn't play a whole lot in 2009. Are you thinking of 2010?
2010.
He was here in 2009 at the very end of the year. I think he played in about 9 games or something like that.
I was here in 2010.
Okay.
And one of the greatest baseball players of our generation was here in Cedar Rapids, 20 minutes from where I went to college, and I didn't go to a game. So let's hope another player of that caliber comes through so I can redeem myself.
Well, we had Byron Buxton a couple years ago, who was a tremendous minor league player. They're still waiting for the offense to come along to the level of the defense. His offense is never going to be as good as his defense, and that is saying something about how good he is in the field with his glove. But they would like him to start hitting the ball, and he's shown glimpses. And when he's hot, to quote Jerry Reed. 319-366-1600. Remember, the next time that you hear Kid Rock in any form on this program, whether you hear his song, a clip of one of his songs, whether you hear him in a movie clip, you hear his voice, be the sixth caller to 366-1600. You're going to see Kid Rock at the Iowa State Fair this summer. 5 minutes to go before the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break, bring you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then continue the baseball discussion here on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back after this.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Getting in shape doesn't have to be boring or expensive. Visit Hall Bicycle Company today to check out their huge selection of new Trek FX fitness bikes. Starting at just $350, a bike from Hall Bicycle will help you stay fit while having loads of fun. With a full array of sizes and models, Hall Bicycle will help you find the perfect bike. Plus, their 2-day service turnaround guarantee means more time riding and less time waiting. Visit HallBicycle.com or their revamped showroom in downtown Cedar Rapids. Hall Bicycle, since 1898.
What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company with a family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for production operators. All you need is a high school diploma and great work ethic. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
Look at it, fellas.
You crying, boy?
You crying, boy? Maybe we'll go back down to McDonald's and get you a hamburger and some French fries. How about a Wineken? You little sissy boy. Def Leppard sucks.
Let's dive right into a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, shall we? You know the number. You know what to do with it. The big news today, the Missouri Valley Conference has officially voted to extend an invitation to Valparaiso to join the conference. Terms of the deal still being negotiated, but it's expected that the Crusaders will come on board July 1st. Currently, members of the Horizon League, Valparaiso will fill the void left after Wichita State bolted for the AAC last month. The MVC may not stop there, though. According to reports today, the league's expansion committee will continue to evaluate the possibility of making further additions. Dayton beat the Cedar Rapids Colonels 4-1 last night in the series opener between the two teams at 5th Third Field. Dragons pitchers combined for 17 strikeouts, including 10 by starter Tony Santillan. The two teams meet again tonight for Game 2 of the series at 6 o'clock. Right-hander Tyler Beardsley takes the mound in search of his fourth win of the year. The Iowa softball team will be the number 11 seed at this week's 12-team Big Ten softball tournament in Ann Arbor. The Hawkeyes will face Wisconsin Thursday night at 6 o'clock. The Badgers won the season series between the two teams 2-1. And according to the Associated Press, the University of Iowa is hoping for a delay in the start of the Tracy Griesbaum trial. Griesbaum, the former field hockey coach fired by Gary Barta in 2015. They're, of course, still coming off the losing verdict in the Jane Meyer trial last week.
Now, we have about a minute before we have to hit a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, but a couple of stories that we're going to get to that I'm very interested in that you brought up earlier today in the world of college football. This idea of freshmen playing in bowl games, possibly playing as many as four games per year, which we'll dive into, but a riveting topic, especially for a developmental program like Iowa.
We're going to talk about that next. Congratulations, by the way, to Kirk in Cedar Rapids. He was listening, he was paying attention, and he heard Kid Rock in that clip from Joe Dirt. He was caller number 6. He's off to see Kid Rock in concert at the Iowa State Fair this summer, Sunday, August 20th. It's an 8 o'clock show. Tickets are on sale right now. The full event lineup has been released for several weeks. The Iowa State Fair, believe it or not, only a couple months away. So congratulations, Kirk. Your next chance to win something with us, either $100 or on Race to Win, will come up before 7 o'clock tonight. Our number two continues after this.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Dear U of I, just a note to let you know, if you're ever thinking about selling Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, please consider Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're here to provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Signed, Hawkeye Fan Forever, and send. Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Whether it's a large commercial property or if you're buying your first home, remember, we're here to help. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Spotlight in the NBA playoffs. Game 5 between the Spurs and Rockets. Series tied 2-2. Coach Mike D'Antoni changing his lineup because of the season-ending injury to Nene. Eric Gordon starts tonight with Ryan Anderson coming off the bench in the backup center role. Stanley Cup playoffs. The Rangers facing elimination host the Senators in Game 6 tonight. Penguins captain Sidney Crosby clarified how the decision was made he stay on the ice after crashing headfirst into the boards last night. Crosby confirmed he was examined by Pittsburgh trainers and doctors, and it was determined he didn't need to enter the concussion protocol. Penguins visit the Capitals in Game 7 tomorrow night. Baseball, Matt Harvey spoke to reporters after rejoining the Mets following the 3-game team-imposed suspension for not showing up to the ballpark Saturday. The righty said he apologized to Mets coaches and players, is embarrassed by his actions. Harvey confirmed he was out past curfew Friday night and played golf on Saturday morning. Twins third baseman Miguel Sano lost his appeal, so tonight he'll serve his 1-game suspension for his actions April 22nd against the Tigers.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Mother's Day is just around the corner and the countdown clock is ticking. Don't miss out on the opportunity to deliver the smile that only comes from 1-800-Flowers.com. This Mother's Day, 1-800-Flowers has beautiful bouquets guaranteed to show mom just how much you appreciate her. Right now, when you order a dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99, 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen plus a vase absolutely free. That is 50% off the original price. With a beautiful mix of roses and rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to show mom that she is loved. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. A dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99, plus another dozen, plus a vase, all for free. It's truly an amazing offer. To order a dozen multicolored roses, plus an extra bouquet and a vase, all for just $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter the code Jacoby. That is 1-800-Flowers.com, code Jacoby. But hurry up, this offer ends on Thursday.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new spicy, crispy Zinger Chicken Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger Chicken Sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger in a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. We're also online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in the poll question sponsored by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. I understand our good friend John from Tiffin was in town today for an athletic event and decided to swing by and check out Emil's. You can do the same thing. First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Today's poll question: should the Missouri Valley Conference expand beyond its current 10 teams? We say current 10 teams because today Valparaiso was invited to join the league to once again bring it back to 10 members. But they're looking at possibly adding more teams for upcoming seasons. Good idea, bad idea? Vote now, kgymradio.com. And no surprise here, but voting continues to be neck and neck between people that think it would be a good idea and those that would think it would be a bad idea. Speaking of ideas, as they relate to college sports, we'll finally break the glass on this topic. We were going to talk about it at some point today, and now is as good a time as ever because I think it'll give us a little breathing room before we jump in on the Cubs again. But Stuart Mandel wrote a piece about a proposed piece of legislation that the college football world is looking at. Mandel is with Fox Sports, by the way. The American Football Coaches Association is going to make a recommendation that players who are redshirting can play in as many as 4 games during their freshman year and still keep that redshirt on them, so to speak. Is this a good idea for college football? 319-366-1600. Alex Kuhn, how do you feel about this? Players, their freshman year, can play up to 4 games, and then next year, they're still considered a redshirt freshman.
I love this. And you just think back to this past season in Iowa City, and there were several freshmen that played a little bit, played a couple of games, were on special teams, contributed in that facet. I just think for a program, especially like Iowa, that is so timid to use their young players because they don't want to burn their red shirt, like a Devontae Young last year, where you never really got to see if he was ready to play on offense. It's almost like a test run, especially when you're using a player during the non-conference. And now I think it'll really come into effect, or at least in theory, during bowl games, because I think that this was really in kind of a combative mode to players resting or players not playing in the bowl game. After Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette decided to sit out their bowl games last year and were still, both of them were still top 10 picks, I think the NCAA and some of the member institutions thought that this would become more prevalent. So they needed to do something to combat that. And what better way to do that than allow a freshman to play in a bowl game just to see what that player can do moving into next year? Because I think more than anything, those lower tier bowl games, or really any bowl game other than the New Year's Six games, are practice, or are the biggest benefit is the practice for next year. So I think that in theory, it should benefit these teams and pretty much every team.
Now, it wouldn't have affected Nathan Stanley last year because he got in 7 games for the Hawkeyes. But I don't remember how many of those games he was basically in there to take a knee and run things out at the end. And clearly, that would affect the decision-making in an instance like that, because you wouldn't put the redshirt quarterback in there for the final 3 plays of the game to take a knee if it was the 5th game that he had played over the course of a season. A couple examples I know from reading up on this. when Chad Kelly tore his ACL this year, Ole Miss wound up using a true freshman at quarterback for the final couple games, so he would not have lost a season of eligibility. And I believe West Virginia had a running back at the end of last season. Was it Justin Crawford?
The name is escaping me.
I think he hurt his knee or his ankle or something like that with about two games to go in the season. I remember reading up on that with the Iowa State game. He would not have lost, or his replacement, I should say, would not have lost a year of eligibility.
It was Justin Crawford.
College football fans, how do you feel about this? Is it a good idea to allow redshirt freshmen to play, true freshmen, I should say, play, and still be able to redshirt? To consider that a redshirt year, 319-366-1600. Make sure you're using the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line or picking up the phone and giving Zach Johnson a call. He'll get you patched through to us. The idea of allowing players to see the field for meaningful snaps and then still being able to, at the end of the year, slap that red shirt on them and have them for four more years on the field.
I think this will really benefit quarterbacks more than anything. And I think this could have a very good effect on quarterback play in the NFL. Because one of the biggest knocks that I have now on quarterback play is some of these guys are being taken way too early with way too little experience in college. And I'm not picking on the Bears here, but the Bears just drafted one of those guys, Case and Point, number two overall, just a couple of weeks ago.
The Bears.
But if that quarterback can go in his true freshman year, and I think back a few years ago, Mizzou with Blaine Gabbert did it, and they had to burn his red shirt. He was the backup quarterback behind Chase Daniel, and he played in three or four games, and they burned his red shirt. But if a quarterback can avoid, because a lot of times now, a coaching staff realizes that a quarterback is not going to play his freshman year. So what they do, they just put him right on the scout team. And basically, he's a tackling dummy with a red shirt on. So they can't actually tackle him. But he basically runs all the plays that the other team would run to give the defense a look as to what they're going to see that week. And that quarterback, a lot of times, is not in offensive meetings, not learning the playbook. And I think that if you give a freshman four games, it will give coaching staffs more incentive to put that quarterback in a backup or third string role where they are in offensive meetings and they are getting reps and they're learning the playbook, which is so important for their development. I love this, and I think we're going to namely see better quarterback play if this does in fact get enacted as a result of it.
0497 on the text line. I don't like it. It lets teams that don't have a winning season put in freshmen to see how they will perform.
What's wrong with that?
I guess that would be my response to what's wrong with that. Now, viewing this from the standpoint of an Iowa or an Iowa State, I would have to think that Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell would both be on board with this.
It would have given Kirk Ferentz another year of LaShawn Daniels. There are several other players that play as true freshmen on special teams for Kirk Ferentz that would give them another year. I think absolutely both of those coaches would love this.
Now, as far as I know, the proposal is for freshman year only. So it's not as if you have a Matt Vandenberg who plays four games during his senior year. He would still have to petition the NCAA. This is for, again, as I understand it, your first year on campus, you are a freshman, it applies to you, and then moving forward, you're just SOL at that point, I guess. But I would think that Iowa would like this. It would give them an opportunity. Look, a guy like A.J. Epenesa is going to play in way more than four games next year. But it's that next tier of guys. Or, because it is a longer season, remember, they used to only play 10, 11 games in college football. Now you're playing 12, 13 with a conference championship game and then 14 or 15 with the bowl game and the college football championship if you get that far. there's more wear and tear on some of these guys, and those late season injuries where your season is on the line and maybe your best bet is to plug a true freshman in there, and the decisions that coaches have had to make. Do I burn a guy's red shirt in November? Do I cost him an entire year of eligibility to try to win two games and maybe a bowl game if the injured player isn't back in time? This takes that out of the equation. 319-366-1600. He's either still at Emil's Hideaway or he's done eating. John and Tiffin wants to talk about this with us. John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, I would have got a hold of you guys earlier, but as you said, I was at Emil's. Lucky my kid's track meet was in Marion tonight. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment first about the Valparaiso thing. Does that just bring another NBC team that Iowa might want to schedule for football?
They're not. Valparaiso's actually not going to be a football member of the MVC. Their football team's going to stay in the Pioneer League.
Okay. I missed that earlier then. But my thoughts on the whole four-game thing with the freshman Richard. That's a third of the season for a majority of the teams. I would say maybe make it two games or three games versus just getting out on the field would be a little bit more fair because of the fact that, you know, you look at the basketball, you've got a possible injury. It's the only thing that you can get another season for. So I could see maybe two or three games and not four. I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know whether there's any science or any reason behind four other than the fact that it's that 25% threshold in a 12-game season. That seems to me like it would be a lot. And I think under special circumstances, if I were pushing forth the rule, maybe I would look at two games, three games max. Four is, to me, pushing the envelope a little bit, but I guess it's all about timing. And I would rather this be utilized toward the end of the season or, you know, in the case of an injury, I guess, whenever it happens. But what I can see is coaches figuring out that this is a way to weed kids out, where you have a red shirt, you have no idea what they actually can do on the field. You see them in practice, you have a good idea of where they are talent-wise, skill-wise, but throw a guy out there, test him against competition, and then I could see this being abused by certain coaches where they don't like what they see on film or evaluation, and then they're weighing, do we keep this kid around for 4 years or do we try to show him the door? Again, not every coach is going to operate that way, but I'm not surprised. I shouldn't say that. The text line doesn't sound like they're a big fan of this. I would have thought people would have embraced this, but a couple people on the text line, 7960 included, are we at this point in time just trying to reinvent the wheel? It's college football. There's not a whole lot wrong with it right now. Are we tinkering with a good thing right now?
No, there's a lot wrong with college football. And there's a lot that people don't see about college football that kind of gets swept under the rug and isn't really talked about. And I thought that, not to go back too far and to veer too far from the conversation, but our poll question about a week ago asking whether you are okay with Nick Saban making $11 million, one of the texters brought up, oh yeah, he makes $11 million. How much do the players make? And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm for players making money. I don't want to get into that conversation, but what I am saying is that these players need more leeway. This needs to be more player friendly. It needs to be more student athlete friendly, and this would make more incentive for players to go into a program. Because a lot of time you see, okay, well, I'm going to go to a place where there's early playing time. Well, you don't have to make that your decision, because coaches will say, all right, well, we got three games early in the season. In the SEC, we have a home game. And for Big Ten teams especially, you have three non-conference games and you have possibly one conference game to test to see what these guys have. I don't think that this is in any way going to hurt anybody in college football. The only argument I have, and it goes back to the text line, basically someone on the text line, I'll find the text here in a second, this will benefit teams who blow, really good teams who blow people out. And I'll make the argument for here locally in high school football. Iowa City, Regina, they are so good because I think one of the biggest things that they get early on is some of these freshmen and sophomores who are backups get to play so often and get that game experience because they are constantly up 40 or 50 points on teams throughout the season. And I think that experience is invaluable. So I kind of agree with that texter in the sense that it will help teams who blow a lot of people out. 72-95 on the text line making that point.
81-32 says, why not eliminate the red shirt altogether and allow 5 years of eligibility? That's going down a road that I'm not sure you want to go down.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And that then it will become the whole student-athlete discussion once again. You're 4 years of college, and then you're giving them an extra free year of college. So that's not a road that I agree with you. That people want to go down, but I think this would be a very good compromise. And maybe like John said, it's only two or three games. Whatever the case is, a compromise, I think, is in order here.
72-95 says, if this passes, some freshmen will work that much harder and stand out to the coaches. I think the freshmen who work harder should be rewarded and don't spend a year standing on the sidelines every Saturday. I didn't necessarily see it in that light, but this would be a little bit of an incentive. If you're a freshman, a lot of guys redshirt, they know that they're not going to see the field. I guess that would make it hard sometimes motivation-wise, going to practice every day. Maybe you start to go through the motions a little bit your first year on campus, although you shouldn't because coaches are always watching and always taking notes. But this would give them something to practice for, something to try to push their way onto the field and force themselves into a difficult decision. And that would be, if you're a coach, do I take this kid beyond four games? Is he good enough where I'm comfortable only having him now for 4 years? Or do I draw the line and say, no, you've played in four games, back to the bench. In you're a break glass in case of emergency type player. But I imagine that this goes over quite well in Ames and Iowa City if it does come to fruition. By the way, we'll get you an update in hour number three. Mike Riley at Nebraska and now Matt Campbell at Iowa State have sort of responded to Brian Ferentz's comments last week. I say sort of replied because there's really not much there from either coach. They're not taking the bait, so to speak. It's 5:52, Midwest One Bank, Big Board update on the way and more. Don't go anywhere, back after this.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
It's time for breakfast at Burger King.
Remember at Burger King, I got the 3 for 89-cent pancake deal?
Yeah.
I tried to take one.
But they're 89 cents.
Yeah.
You could spare one.
I understand, but you know what I said.
Well, you said respect the stack.
And did you?
No, because I like pancakes. Respect that stack. Get 3 pancakes for just 89 cents. That's 3 fluffy golden pancakes for 89 cents now at Burger King. Here's another great breakfast deal. 2 croissant sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time at participating Burger King restaurants.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
5:54, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on. Remember, be listening for your chance to win between now and 7 o'clock, and when you hear the cue to call, be the sixth caller, and you can win $100 a day during the month of May. That's coming up before we turn you over to either ESPN programming, or if you listen to us on 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins taking on the White Sox tonight. Someone on the text line wants to know what the current red shirt rule is.
You play one play.
You play one play.
Red shirt's over.
Red shirt is over unless there was some sort of medical malady, and then you have to go the hardship waiver route. But you set foot on the field, gone, out the window.
1164 on the text line asked, does this mean that true freshmen would dress every game?
I guess I hadn't really thought about that, but you would have to figure out
especially because road games you can only take 65 players, so I don't think that would change a whole lot because you still the coaching staff still has to take their 65 best players on the road or in whatever role that they see fit. So I don't think it would change away games a whole lot, but there would be situations I believe where you would see true freshmen who already. In case you didn't know, true freshmen dress for pretty much every home game most places. You'd see true freshmen playing in home games and not traveling to road games.
319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line for you to use between now and 7. It's also the number to pick up and give us a call anytime we're giving something away or if you just want to join the discussion as Sonny and Tim as well as a couple other listeners have done so tonight. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The big news of the day, at least in mid-major basketball circles, the Missouri Valley Conference has voted to officially extend an invitation to Valparaiso to join the league as of July 1st. Terms of the deal are still being negotiated, but the Crusaders right now are in the Horizon League. They would fill the void left after Wichita State bolted for the AAC last month. The MVC may not stop there, though. According to reports, the league's expansion committee will continue to evaluate the possibility of making further additions. Dayton beat the Cedar Rapids Colonels 4-1 last night in the series opener between the two teams at Fifth Third Field in Dayton. Dragons pitchers combined for 17 punchouts, including 10 by starter Tony Santillan. The two teams meet again tonight for Game 2. It'll start at 6 o'clock Central Time. Right-hander Tyler Beardsley on the mound for the Colonels. He's looking for his fourth win of the year. The Iowa softball team is back at the Big Ten Tournament after a one-year absence. The Hawkeyes will be the number 11 seed this week. They take on Wisconsin tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Ann Arbor. The Badgers won the season series between the two teams 2-1. 319-366-1600. You're going to need that number at least once coming up in hour number 3. Baseball talk and more on the way as the Todd Bromelkamp Show continues after this.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver five times more